Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Max Healthcare Institute Limited earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anoop Poojari from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Poojari.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Max Healthcare's Q1 FY27 earnings conference call. We have with us Mr. Abhay Soi, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Yogesh Sareen, Senior Director and Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Keshav Gupta, Senior Director, Growth, M&A, and Business Planning of the company. We'll begin the call with opening remarks from the management, following which we'll have the forum open for an interactive question-and-answer session. Before we start, I would like to point out that some statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the earnings presentation shared with you earlier. I would now like to invite Abhay to make his opening remarks.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today for Max Healthcare's Q1 FY27 earnings call. We started the financial year with healthy momentum across the network, recording year-on-year growth of 16% in revenue and 15% in operating EBITDA. We continued to execute well on our ongoing capacity expansion plans. At Max Smart, we have currently operationalized 50% capacity of the 400-bed brownfield tower. The remaining 50% are expected to be handed over to operations during the course of the current quarter. At Nanavati Max, remaining 50 beds will also be operationalized in this quarter, and work on the Phase 2 expansion has commenced. Coming to our recent acquisitions, the integration of Max Bhubaneswar into the network is proceeding as planned. The hospital contributed rupees 19 crores in revenue and 2 crores in EBITDA during the post-acquisition period in Q1 FY27, with an occupancy of 50% and ARPOB of rupees 35,000, both of which provide significant levers for growth going forward. Prior to the acquisition, the hospital generated revenues of rupees 154 crores in FY26. Going forward, our focus is on integrating operations, renovating infrastructure, upgrading technology, and enhancing clinical programs to turn around the hospital over the next 12 months. In relation to the Pune Greenfield, we have acquired the SPV, and it is now a subsidiary of the company. To further strengthen our existing network, the board has approved a capital expenditure of rupees 425 crores for a new brownfield tower at Max Super Speciality Hospital, Vaishali. This will add 202 beds to the hospital's existing capacity of 387 beds. The building plans have been approved and the construction activities have already commenced. The project is expected to be commissioned before FY30. Alongside our capacity expansion, we continue to strengthen our research and academic ecosystem. We have recently established a standalone Max Research Center, marking a landmark milestone in our research journey. Over the years, we have built an integrated clinical research ecosystem and have conducted over 750 clinical trials, completed over 2,200 investigator-initiated studies, published nearly 3,500 papers in indexed journals, secured over 30 competitively funded research projects, generated patents, and established capabilities that translate scientific discovery into better patient care. In recent months, we have also secured several research grants and awards from the prestigious institutes including ICMR Center for Advanced Research in Precision Diabetes, the ANRF MAHA MedTech Mission, the DBT European Union Dengue Program, and India AI Mission Initiative, and the National Cancer Grid, amongst others. Our research capabilities are complemented by a dedicated education arm, the Max Institute of Medical Education. This institute trains over 12,000 healthcare professionals annually, spanning across 180 programs, and our postgraduate ecosystem has over 600 DNB students across clinical specialities. Emboldened by the above and the change in recent guidelines of the National Medical Commission, we have decided to embark upon the medical education business and have received in-principle approval from the board for the same. We believe this to be a significant line of business in years to come. Now moving on to the Q1 performance highlights. Average occupancy for the network continued to be more than 75% despite the 13% increase in operational bed capacity year on year, with most units continuing to operate at near optimal capacity. Occupied bed days were up by 10% year on year and 5% quarter on quarter. Average length of stay reduced by 4% over trailing quarter, reflecting concerted efforts on this front. Average revenue per occupied bed for the quarter stood at 81,900, growing by 5% both year-on-year and quarter-on-quarter. Network gross revenue stood at 2,982 crores compared to 2,574 crores in Q1 last year and 2,664 crores in previous quarter. This reflects an increase of 16% year-on-year and 12% quarter-on-quarter. Due to the discontinuation of select high-value chemotherapy drugs for institutional patients, the share of oncology for inpatient revenues dropped to 22% from 26% in Q1 FY26. Excluding oncology, gross revenue grew by 20% and ARPOB grew by 9% year-on-year. International patient revenue was ₹247 crores, registering a growth of 18% year-on-year and accounting for 9% of the revenues from hospitals. Digital revenue from online marketing activities, web-based appointments and digital lead management was ₹941 crores, accounting for approximately 32% of overall revenue. Website traffic crossed 97 lakh sessions during the quarter, growing by 41% year-on-year. Network operating EBITDA stood at 704 crores, reflecting a growth of 15% year-on-year and 3% quarter-on-quarter. Network operating EBITDA margin was 24.8% for the quarter compared to 24.9% in Q1 FY26 and 26.8% in trailing quarter. The margin was relatively muted due to the recent commissioning of new brownfield capacities and the acquisition of Kalinga Hospital. Annualized EBITDA per bed for the network stood at rupees 71 lakhs versus 68 lakhs in Q1 FY26 and 73 lakhs in the previous quarter. Profit after tax for the network was rupees 357 crores against 345 in quarter 1 last year and 387 in the previous quarter. The network generated free cash flows of rupees 397 crores during the quarter. Rupees 386 crores was deployed towards the acquisition of Kalinga Hospital and Yerwada Property Private Limited, and rupees 337 crores was invested in ongoing capacity expansion projects. Net debt for the network stood at 2,384 crores compared to 1,908 crores at the end of March 2026. While the net debt to EBITDA ratio continued to remain below 1, the increase during the quarter includes rupees 153 crores towards Kalinga and the put option liabilities for the balance stake in Yerwada, which is the Pune project. Continuing our effort to support the local communities, we provided free treatment to over 56,000 patients from economically weaker sections of the society worth rupees 78 crores at hospital tariff. We also spent around rupees 6 crores towards various CSR initiatives during the quarter, which include provision of medical scholarships to underprivileged students, promoting maternal and newborn health, vocational skill training, and environmental projects such as pond rejuvenation and tree transplantations. Both our strategic business units continue to deliver steady growth in revenue and profitability. Max at Home reported revenue of rupees 78 crores, reflecting a year-on-year growth of 32%. It offers 16 specialized service lines across 15 cities with over 56% repeat transactions. Max Lab reported revenue of rupees 58 crores, reflecting a year-on-year growth of 20%. It provides services in over 60 cities and served over 6 lakh patients during the quarter. Now moving on to the status of expansion projects coming on stream over the next 2 to 3 years. 100 beds at Max Lucknow Additional 100 beds in the existing 468-bed facility will be commissioned over the next two quarters. 500 beds at Sector 56 Gurgaon, we expect to start phased commissioning of this facility by end of this year. 250 beds at Bhubaneswar, renovation of existing facilities should be completed within 12 months. 100 beds at Nagpur project work continues to be on track and we expect commissioning by FY28. 400 beds at Jirakpur Mohali project is on schedule and we expect to commission it in FY28. Onco daycare block at Max Dwarka, this is the second phase. Project work is complete and we are awaiting occupancy certificate. 260 beds at Dwarka, which is the next phase because the Dwarka hospital is running full. It will be commissioned by FY30. 200 beds at Pitampura, project is on track and we expect commissioning in FY29. 271 beds at Nanavati in phase 2, project work has started and will be commissioned in FY30. 400 beds at Patparganj, D-wall work has started. We expect commissioning by end of FY29. And 450 beds at Pune, we have received IOD. Project is expected to be commissioned by FY30. With this, we open the floor for any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Damayanti Kerai from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning and thank you for the opportunity. My first question is, if you can share your thought around the recent parliamentary standing committee recommendation for the healthcare sector. So any initial thought on the recommendation which came?
You know, I think the recent committee report speaks about affordability, but I think you know, one needs to look at another important aspect, which is going to be the need for new hospital beds and viability. I think both need to go hand in hand. So I think once you take that equation into account, you know, I think wise minds will think otherwise.
Okay, and are you involved in some of the discussions which could have gone for these recommendations, or you think it will be more in the future?
No, I don't think there has been any reach out to hospitals on this committee.
Okay.
I've read it as much as everybody else. It speaks about certain FDI caps and so on and so forth. So like I said, I think, you know, it's a sector we believe that you require a lot more capital and, you know, you have to have an environment which is both viable and conducive to investment for hospitals to be built. I think, they, you know, all in all, this report is about, this is 176th report by the committee.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you need to look at it in the balance. And I'm sure the ministries will look at it in the balance.
Okay. Thanks. My second question is your plan for turning around the Kalinga Hospital. So you mentioned around 12 months to set up infra and bring the SOP changes, etc. So once these changes are implemented, what is the headroom to improve in terms of the profitability profile, ARPOB, etc.? Because at this point of time, it looks very low compared to the corporate average. So
no, of course.
Share your thoughts.
Yeah, so I think there's a, because there's a, you know, the occupancy is 50% and ARPOB is 35,000. I think there's significant room in both these. You should be able to effectively have a 50 to 80% enhancement in both of these. And, you know, in order to do that, we have a current hospital, so you have a head start. It makes a marginal amount of profit. But, you know, you have to renovate it, you have to get the technology, you have to get the clinical program. We intend to do it, all of this, over the next year or so. And then, of course, we alongside will be building another 200 beds over here, or 250 beds here. You know, so we've been through this route before, whether in Lucknow or in Noida with our acquisitions. We've done it many times. So it's the same sort of route that we intend to sort of follow.
Okay. My last question is on Max Smart, where you commissioned 50% of bed and you mentioned 50% will come this quarter and beyond. So on the commissioned bed, what is the current occupancy and which is the focus segment or focus specialties which are offered in this particular unit?
So you have oncology here. I mean, it's running. Whatever's been opened is running to, you know, 80% occupancy. Quite full. And the rest of the beds are not going to come in this quarter and the next quarter. They are all coming in this quarter. So you'll have all the beds operational in this quarter. So I think, you know, we're expecting good occupancy over here. Like I said, whatever's been opened is already at 80%. But it's been opened in a phased manner through the quarter also. I mean, I'm talking about half the beds are open now. You know, a lot of them got opened in the last 1 month. And as they are coming on stream, they're getting occupied.
Got it. Okay. So one last question before I get back in the queue. So in terms of your insurance empanelment or renegotiations, etc., anything pending in near term which are due for renewal or renegotiations, etc.?
Yes, so there are, this is Yuresh. So there are, you know, ongoing the negotiation going on with Jitsar, you know, and some other insurance companies. Also, the insurance company that we had discussion last time, so those are up for renewal in September, October period. So we hope we will get some price increase going forward in the insurance segment.
September, October is the time, okay, when renewals are due.
You know, Damayanti, last time when we, you know, had this stalemate with the insurance companies, so we had agreed a 6% automatic price revision, you know, and that's what, you know, is going to happen. And also, you know, on the you know, CIA side, you know, there have been engagement with the IRDA, etc., and with the insurers also. And there, more or less, we have agreed that, you know, the level of inflation that hospitals have and some kind of a, you know, recommendation to the IRDA in terms of automatic price revisions.
Yeah, so we at the end of this period, we have automatic renewal at and price inflation, which is built.
Yeah.
Which is a part of the previous negotiation. So these
6,
don't go
6%.
Into...
Okay, so this is like 6% revision, which was earlier agreed upon. That will come into...
That's right.
Okay, great. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Neha Manpuria from BofA Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Abhay, on the, you know, Max Smart beds that we've commissioned, you know, given that we're seeing such good ramp up in the beds that you mentioned that they're already at 80% occupancy, shouldn't the incremental EBITDA from these beds be very high and therefore start contributing to EBITDA significantly starting from first quarter itself? When should we start seeing that, you know, EBITDA improvement from these new beds come through?
See, what happens is it's very standard sort of for any new hospital, brownfield, otherwise or whatever. The trajectory is very simple. First, you ramp up occupancy, right? You ramp up that occupancy using low RPOB, any RPOB, whatever is sort of coming your way, but you focus on revenue, you know, while you're bearing the cost of the place. And as you sort of ramp up, you start also improving your RPOBs. So you hit break even with occupancy, and once you do that, you start improving your sort of bottom line. Everything keeps, as you know, you kind of distill your payer mix, it starts coming down to the bottom line. And you know, we've been through this in Dwarka, we've been through it in other sort of brownfields that we opened up. The trajectory is the same. First revenues, then the profitability sort of this thing happens. So, first, I mean, the revenues also, the occupancy will be high, revenue ramp up will be lower relatively, and EBITDA ramp up will be lower even more so relatively, right? Then the second thing which starts happening, your revenue ramp up moves beyond your occupancy ramp up, of course, and your EBITDA starts picking up, and then your EBITDA ramp up is going to overtake your revenue ramp up as well. So that's a, it's a very standard sort of operating book as far as occupancy is concerned. So the next couple of quarters, you're going to see that. Yeah.
Okay, sorry. So in which case, when do I start seeing the revenue ramp up and EBITDA ramp up? When, like you said, couple of quarters, should that start happening, let's say by third quarter, fourth quarter, or is it a little more phased out in your
experience? No. By the second, third quarter of operation, you are there.
Understood. And my second question is on Max Nanavati. I think you mentioned that the remaining 50 beds would be operational. You could give us some color on how the beds that we've commissioned are doing. And phase two, when do we expect to start that, given that we're just starting activity? So when that should that be ready and commissioned?
No, so look, the phase one, again, you know, whatever we opened up is at about 80% occupancy. It's already, we are waiting for the 50-odd beds which are remaining over there. Soon as they come up, hopefully we'll have that occupancy also done. You know, it's a little further out on the trajectory compared to Max Smart, in the sense that there's already a significant pickup in of occupancy happened before revenue, and now EBITDA is sort of catching up and is going to surpass that soon. So you know, we already at that curve, and you know, with respect to the second phase, what that means is we need to kind of shut the 100 odd beds over there, which we have, and we've sort of increased, we started the works on our second phase. That will take us about 2.5 years.
Okay. So, and if I remember correctly, Max Nanavati was lower on the margins because of the, you know, the bed, the type of patients that we were able to serve and the limitation of capacity. So the improvement in Max Nanavati should therefore come once the phase two comes through, a meaningful EBITDA improvement, or you start expecting that it to catch up with the corporate average, let's say with the phase one itself?
No, with the phase one itself. We've already seen a ramp up over there.
Thank
you. Have that. It's very high ARPOB business. Your EBITDA is already sort of ramping up. You'll get there, yeah.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Viraj Shah from PGIM India Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I just have one
Viraj,
question.
Sorry, can you speak a little louder, please?
Am I audible now?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So I just have one question. If you could explain a bit about the changes proposed in the National Medical Commission with respect to you guys setting up the medical colleges. What is the kind of capital commitment, or what are you seeing in this area specifically?
Yeah, so basically, you know, there's been draft notification to say that now even for-profit companies can open medical colleges. Before that, the regulation was that it's only not-for-profit, you know, enterprise which can, you know, get into medical college. So I think with that draft change, which we assume will also become the law, you know, for-profit companies can also open medical colleges. Now we've done some, you know, better than null calculations, and our take is that for a 150 bed, you know, 150 seats medical college, you need around 300 crores of spend, right? And this is what is the kind of capital required. This will be generally in the existing hospitals, right? So, for example, we have a, you know, 27-acre campus in Lucknow. So our plan is to, you know, start one at Lucknow. And then maybe come to the other hospitals where we have vast pieces of land and try and create these, you know, infrastructure there.
Okay. And just for understanding perspective. Just for my understanding perspective, what would be the kind of margins which one can make via this for-profit medical area?
We are seeing ROCs of more than 25%. I mean, you've been following the recent NEET and this thing. You're aware that less than 2% of students who qualify for NEET exams find places in medical colleges. I think this is the government's impetus to increase seats in medical colleges. Previously, for-profit organizations were kind of curtailed from doing so. Also, there were restrictions on the sort of charges which could be applied, you know, to hospitals attached to medical colleges, as well as the kind of wards and, you know, places, you know, there were some infrastructure limitations as well that were there in the previous listing, and all of that had been removed. Now, effectively, what that means is that if you have a hospital, you're permitted to have a certain amount of seats for medical education attached to it. So the prerequisite for this business becomes to have a hospital. because the students have to train in the hospital, right? The second thing is that at the back end, we're already training DNB students, so we are already doing the, we're already teaching MBBS students. Once you become a doctor, you come and train in, sort of we already have the faculties, we have the curriculums and so on. So for us, it's very natural, it's almost backward integration for us to get into medical education. We have the campuses in multiple locations, in Delhi, in Lucknow, in Bhubaneswar, in other places, because, we have the campuses, we have the lands, and we intend to sort of get into this business. We are seeing more than a 25% to 30% ROC at present, and we intend to do this at scale.
Understood. Great. Thanks a lot. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Bino from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good morning. Just a couple of quick questions. One, we have taken this board approval for additional tower and 200 beds in Vaishal. If I look at your earlier presentations, there were already 200 beds scheduled for FY29 in Vaishali. Is it the same or is it a fresh tower?
No, it's the same one.
Same, okay. Second, you made this acquisition in Bhubaneswar, Kalinga. After that, we have seen some litigation started immediately after that with the previous promoters. So could you briefly describe what this is about?
They were not the promoters. These are the minority shareholders of 39% equity. This is the group that sits outside of India. They have their own issues. They have the liquidation proceedings going on against themselves in the parent setup in UAE market. Their shares, as per our legal counsels, are not transactable. Their request or suggestion and plea is to buy their shares also as part of the transaction, which we are very okay to. And they have gone to the court that we should buy their shares. And our counter is that your shares are, as of now, untouchable. Please get us a court order to buy them. That's the discussion going on. They want to force it to us. Promoters is not an issue party. We have bought the shares from promoter only. We have the full control of the company.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You can.
Next question is from line of Karan Vora from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. So the first one is with respect to the educational institution. So we have highlighted in the past that doctors or availability of doctors is not an issue, but is getting into medical education coming from the fact that maybe 5 years or 7 years down the line, when all the large chains would have expanded meaningfully, we might see a shortage of doctors? And is that a response to that, so that in the future we don't face such an issue? And also, this whole thing will be a part of the console list co, right? The whole medical college setup. That's the first question.
No, absolutely. It is going to be all part of the list co. It's going to be, there are no leakages over there. So it's 100% all the economic interest is going to be sitting here. I think that's one. Secondly, unless we do some, one was to do a private equity round or something else outside of that, that may be different. But yeah, this is going to be 100% sub of the list. So that's one. The second thing is with respect to, what was the first question?
The supply of doctors.
Supply of doctors. No, so this is a little too far out for that. What happens is that you get a good stream of resident doctors, DNB doctors to start with. Obviously, there's no bond which makes them sort of continue. At the later stage, they get better opportunities somewhere else. If you're not growing, for us, growth is imperative, okay? Because if you don't grow tomorrow, you don't give opportunities of career growth to your clinicians as well as management, then you're going to have a problem. People will move out, right? So I think, all those things are bound to happen. But, it gives you a good base of quality resident doctors who and DNBs who come to your fore.
Okay, got it. The second question is with respect to CGHS benefits. So are we on track to that 140 crore number for this year, and how much have we realized in Q1?
No, so we are on track in the sense that, that number is flowing ever since. Right, so there was some left out part, which was the you know, super specialty rates, that also have started to flow from, I would say, June onwards.
Got it. So are we like a 140 divided by 4 kind
yes.
of a run rate?
Okay. From June onward, yes.
Okay, got it. And the last thing is maybe one request. So like till last quarter, we used to give the regional disclosure. So that used to be really helpful to, you know, understand what's happening in different states for us. So maybe if we can reinstate that from the next quarter, it would be helpful. That's just a request. And also, if possible, to share for this quarter as well.
Yeah, you know, the reason that we sort of pulled it out, we have to discuss that because lots of regions. If I gave East, then you know it's Bhubaneswar. There's one hospital that we have over there. So we can...
There was too much statistical information at the hospital level because some states had only one setup as of now. And given the competitive request, you know, data that gets used there...
Maybe we can give it as others, some part of it as others.
And the things can react. We can do that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I want to avoid giving solo hospital data. I mean, as you can well imagine.
Sure, that's fine. Yeah, maybe others is a good idea. Yeah.
That's right.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vivek Agarwal from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. In IP revenue growth, actually, if you look at non-onco business has done well, but onco business continues to remain under pressure and some kind of challenges. So just want to understand, when are you expecting the growth of onco segment back to earlier level or maybe let's say the industry peers? Thank you. And second part is that why we are seeing significant issues only in MAX while the peers are reporting healthy numbers, especially in onco. Thank you.
So one is that oncology will start to level from quarter three onwards. That means, you know, mid of quarter three is when we took this action of, you know, not supplying the or not using the overseas drugs for the CGHS, you know, after this new MOA was signed in October. So I think, so that means quarter four onwards will be fully normalized and quarter three will start to normalize. So that's one. The fact is that we have our franchise, you know, from oncology was the largest. We were 25% plus revenues coming from non-oncology. So to that extent, the impact was higher on us. Also,
the highest amount of CGS.
Yeah,
the highest amount of institutional business was us. So you have a...
We also have the largest share in terms of CGHS. So I think that is because of our presence in Delhi, etc. So I think that's the reason you see more impact here in Max.
Perfect. And second question is related to your payer mix. We have seen that, again, institutional shares came down this year. So going forward, how we should look at the share of institutional revenues? Is it going to go back, let's say, earlier level 22% or so, or is it going to come down meaningfully even from here on? Thank you.
No, it is coming down. We believe it to come down. Yeah, so it's a result of a concerted effort. It's not, I mean, we obviously put something in play.
Understood. Thank you. That's from my side.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Abdul Qadir Puranwala from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, and thank you for the opportunity. So first is a follow-up on you know, the CGHS question. So with the reimbursements now, other hospitals are also talking about you know, that not being profitable. Have you guys, along with you know, other hospitals, started to approach the government and the CGHS guys to roll this back to the previous levels?
Oh, look, I think you know, the institutional business has never been profitable, right? It contributes to fixed costs, so that's where we are. I mean, you know, you can't. You know, if you're going to continuously only rely on this business, then you will have a continuing issue in any case. And a little bit of, look, up-down keeps on payments, there's lumpiness and stuff like that keeps happening, but, you know, this is a to and fro.
Okay,
it's part of the business, right? I mean, I'm not particularly concerned about that. What the issue is that on an overall basis, it is not a profitable business, it's a loss-making business. It contributes to fixed costs.
Understood about it. And you know, there are certain media articles highlighting that the insurance companies Aavind now trying to dictate the terms at which patients, you know, get admitted and the kind of care should be offered. So with our interactions with the insurance companies, you know, are they kind of pressing a little harder on this aspect? And if at all, you know, especially in the seasons of fever and flu, which might happen in this quarter, has there been any kind of an occupancy impact which you've seen so far?
So firstly, we are not seeing occupancy impact, but, you know, more importantly, you have to understand what the role of a hospital is, right? Hospital does not admit a patient. A doctor admits the patient, right? So, I mean, this is a matter between insurance companies and clinicians. Now, if a doctor says, admit the patient, we admit the patient. If he says admission not required, we cannot admit the patient. There's a protocol. Eventually, I mean, the hospital, we are only providing the logistics and infrastructure for it and the services. Once the patient is admitted, the triage, the call, okay, to admit the patient or not to admit the patient lies solely with the doctors. And look, eventually if the, you know, the insurance companies are able to kind of standardize that in some manner with the doctors, etc., so be it. I mean, eventually the IMA, the medical council has to agree, right?
Got it. Got it. And so between, say, just on a bookkeeping question, between, say, quarter one of this year versus last year, would it be fair to assume that, you know, the overheads of the new hospitals along with the onco drugs getting discontinued may have, say, close to 100 to 150 crores kind of an impact on your EBITDA?
No, I haven't really, looked at it in that fashion. But what happens is, let's say if you're opening a 400-bed hospital, right, you're going to staff that hospital. And when you open the first 20 beds, obviously, you know, the 20 beds is not absorbing it, but it's a brownfield. Maybe the first 50 beds or 100 beds absorbs it. And then as you sort of go further, okay, all of it drops to the bottom line. Of course, your break-even for a brownfield is much lower than a greenfield. But your cost will sort of move up in line with that. But, you know, it's a matter of a quarter here, a quarter there. You can't look at it as cost going up. I mean, if you don't have the cost going up, going forward in the next quarter or so, you're not going to have the revenues coming through either.
Sure, sir. Got it.
I mean, if I have to open a hospital tomorrow, okay, I have to staff it today. So I'm carrying that cost.
Right.
Right?
Got it. Got it.
Yeah,
thank
so I mean, you shouldn't look at it in, I mean, this is not extra, is it not extra cost? This
sure.
will yield, and you'll see it yielding now.
Sure, understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ashutosh Kumar Jha from Balasani Asset Management. Please go ahead.
So I just had a question around the bookkeeping of free cash flow. The EBITDA seems to have grown by 15%. However, your free cash flow, operating free cash flow seems to have grown by 3%. A similar trend is observable at the EPS level. Can you just explain what is the bridge between the two that is causing this?
So I think basically there has been a movement in the AR. So, you know, there's a lumpiness in the collections when it comes to CGH and other PSUs. Right, so there's a DSO has gone up from, you know, 87 days to 95 days. So in a way, there's a build-up of AR of around 250 crores, you know, in this quarter compared to quarter four. So that's in a way eaten into the free cash flow from operations because this absorbs the working capital changes also, right? And also you would have seen that the ETR has gone up a bit. So that's also so the tax in all flows has also gone up compared to, you know, last quarter. So that's the reason why you find this, you know, cash flows to be lower. So typically we find, we generally, you know, like it to be in the range of 62 to 65%. This time it's around 56%. And it's mainly because of the AR.
Understood. And do we expect this to normalize in the coming years?
Yeah, so I mean, it should because we have, the CGHS had a new portal and the new portal, they were not processing bills. Now we started to see collections from the new portal. We do think that this should come down going forward. Right?
Thank you, sir. That is all my questions.
Thank you. Next question is from Nano Siddharth Gandhi from Chanakya Wealth Creation. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Just two questions. How are you looking at the viability of your expansion plans in light of the parliamentary committee's report? Does that sort of bring anything back to the table? Does that require you to reassess any of those? And on the college business, when you know, do you also expect to start postgraduate colleges, given that you know Congo specialty is really a big big source of revenue for you? And how are you planning to fund this, and when can we see this sort of start commercial operations? Yeah, those are my questions.
I think you'll see starting of commercial operations over the next few years. You know, we will obviously be open to doing any meaningful acquisition if it's available to kickstart our process sooner than that as well. But and we intend to fund it entirely through internal accruals. You know, yes, we intend to start PG courses, so no doubt on that front. And what was the other thing?
Is the parliamentary committee. Yes, any thoughts on
the parliamentary committee report does not put any thoughts or reassessment of expansion plans. My belief is that you know, eventually, you know, you have to believe any sort of policy will be rational. You know, we are efficient providers of healthcare. If there is going to be any sort of risk-free return available and it's going to be a viable proposition for anybody to set up hospitals, we believe we will have superior returns relative to that. And therefore, if, you know, tomorrow, God forbid, you have a situation, you know, hopefully it'll become an opportunity for consolidation for us. So I'm, you know, I'm focused on providing best of healthcare and being the most efficient. Eventually, you know, any policy has to cater to the medium, to the mean, not to the outliers. And I believe as far as efficiency is concerned, we are outliers.
Got it. And just one more thing on the direct costs. Are most of the direct cost increases, while that's a very marginal one, are most of those because of the increase in crude and hence the possible increase in your consumable prices, or is this not giving you any significant impact on the direct costs?
No, there's not much of impact. No, I mean, we've seen some impact in the indirect costs, but not much on the direct cost side.
Because it's contributed to some, historically, to some delays in, you know, materials, you know, when it's, if you're importing furniture for hospitals from overseas and so on and so forth, but, you know, a lot of that, the delays are behind us, right?
It's coming from the fund that our revenue, net revenue is grown by 15% and direct cost is gone by 16%, and 1% is the clinician cost.
Is that 1% is the increase in clinician cost, really?
Okay, so no impact on account of all the crude prices and therefore the consumable price increases, etc. That's not really happening much.
Yeah, that's right. And the good part about increasing clinician cost is over a period of time, as your revenues ramp up, they kind of normalize.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you so much. This is helpful.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ankur, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. So my question is with regards to the opportunity in the market, right? You previously alluded there's a long runway to growth over the next few decades, right? And we also see in the market there's a huge supply demand gap for private hospital beds and the consumer preference as well as, you know, towards private hospitals. Given that context, right, what's your view if you look at, let's say, 2 decades from now, 15, 20 years, do you think the top 2, 3, 4 hospital chains in India, they can each be a size of 100,000 beds? Is that something which is viable, according to you?
You know, the total, in how many years?
In 20 years, 2 decades?
No. I don't think that would be the case, because what that would mean is... you have at least, for the top three players, you will be building about 300,000 beds. The total number of beds in India right now are 100,000. Okay, you're going to have complete consolidation. That means building 300,000 beds over 2 decades, you know, my belief is that, you know, that kind of execution capabilities, that kind of capital which is required, you know, it's going to be a big challenge. Okay. I don't see any player becoming 10x in 2 decades.
So that means like we always had this demand supply gap between what the consumer wants and the availability, right?
The largest hospital chain is 10,000-11,000 beds. For them to be 100,000 beds, they need to be 10 times their size. That means I need to be 15 times my size. No, sorry, 20 times my size. Okay, I don't see building 20 times my size. So you need all the FDI, you need all the investments, you need it to be viable for the next person who's setting up a hospital. So he's buying land, he's doing construction cost at that point of time and so on and so forth, right?
So your growth rate, right, you've been like doubling your capacity, you're on a trend of doubling capacity every 4 or 5 years. So at least do you foresee this continuing for next 15, 20 years?
Absolutely. So I mean if that you look at them from 5,000, I'll get to 10,000, 10 to 20, 20 to 40 at best, right? Anyway, I mean, I'm just crystal ball gazing. We have no such thing as that. We are looking at increasing capacity as much as we can and investing in whatever cash flows we have in the sector.
Okay. And in terms of your ARPOB growth, right, we've seen 7 to 8%, which is like, you said, a couple of percentage points above the rate of inflation. Again, that trend you see for going forward the next 10, 15 years, that trend continuing?
Look, hospital growth, top line ARPOB growth will always be superior to inflation because whatever real growth happens in terms of novel treatments, etc., okay, that is a part of ARPOB, right? So ARPOB is not only inflation. If inflation continues at this, I mean, hopefully innovations will continue in the sector in years to come and, like it has for, the past century. So then you should have the same outcome.
Thank you. Ankur, I'll request you to come back for a follow-up question. Next question is from the line of Saurabh Kaparia from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Just one question on the institutional patient bed share, which has come off this quarter versus previous quarter. But how we should look at this number given upcoming bed additions, capacity additions that we are doing?
You had capacity addition and yet you've seen it come down. So I think, trend-wise that should continue. Unless we, acquire significant capacities and we need to do, then that's a different ballgame. But as far as this present infrastructure is concerned, I think this trend of reduction perhaps will continue.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Alankar Garude from Kotak Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, we have seen a sharp sequential increase in operating expenses even if we adjust for Bhubaneswar. While you will be adding incremental beds at Nanavati and Smart, would it be fair to say that we will not see any material increase in OPEX till Gurugram comes up?
That's right. Rather than Max Bhubaneswar, the large increase in indirect cost is due to the new capacities, which have been like, whether it's Mohali, whether it's Nanavati, whether it's Smart. That along with Bhubaneswar has caused the big increase in indirect costs. And yes, I think you will not see any significant increase and you will see increase in revenue and therefore you'll see a higher amount of EBITDA through flow. I mean, that's what your point was.
Yeah, that was the point. And similarly, Abhay, if you can comment on net debt as well, would it be fair to say that net debt has peaked out at current levels?
I'm still lower than one in terms of net debt to EBITDA. And if I can get to 2.5 by doing acquisitions or whatever else, I'd be happy to go to 2.5 times net debt to EBITDA.
Yeah, but barring any acquisitions, it should come down from current levels. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, Madhav, we have the ongoing CapEx plan, right? So you know we are spending money on the Shaheed Path, this 424 crores approval, etc. So I would say whatever cash we generate, we will obviously consume that. And maybe we'll also take some loan to finance the projects, right? So this net debt will marginally go up if you ask in end of the year.
Okay.
I mean, there's no meaningful see, I mean, really depends on what kind of cash flows we are throwing out and so on and so forth. Okay. I mean, at present, I mean, if you look at 3 years down the line, effectively, you should have funded your CapEx and paid down the debt 3, 4 years down the line.
Fair enough. The second question was, can you provide some color on how the three acquisitions have been doing? It's been almost 2.5 years now for Lucknow, Noida, and Nagpur. Any qualitative insights there would be helpful.
I think the first and foremost is the fact that we are expanding these capacities because what we acquired, if you recall, were operating at low sort of occupancy levels. So you've seen very high ramp-up in occupancy, obviously very high ramp-up in revenues and profitability. And now we are moving towards capacity expansion in all three. And that brownfield capacity expansion leads straight to the bottom line. So I think qualitatively, all three have been successful from that standpoint. I mean, it's been to playbook, honestly. I think, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Got it. And one final one, can you update us on the status of Shaheed Path as well as Thane?
For the Thane, the regulatory approvals are coming in. We have got stage one approval for the overall master plan for the site, and we have to submit the specific building plan drawings now. For Shaheed Path, we have prepared their drawings. We're discussing with the authorities, and we'll submit them after we have the broad clearance on the concept.
So broadly, what are the timelines you're looking at?
For both projects, after we have the approval, which is another 6 months from now, after that, they'll take about 30-36 months for delivery.
Got it. That's helpful. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take that as a last question. I'll now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. We appreciate your time and look forward to interacting with you again next quarter. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Max Healthcare Institute Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.